Book of Luke, chapter 12, we'll be starting from verse 1.
In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.
Now here we see, so many people came to see him. He says, innumerable multitude of people. So that means they cannot even count those people. And so many people were coming. And not only that, they were trampling on each other. So it was a big crowd. But Jesus Christ is not talking to those people. He is looking at the disciples and he is talking to them. And first thing he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So he was trying to teach his disciples, when the Pharisees are teaching from their book, they are not teaching the truth. Those people are hypocrites, and so when they are preaching something which is not biblical and you should not be learning. He gave the example of leaven. And so he said, those kind of people, they are there teaching you something, and they might be teaching you secretly, they might be teaching you quietly, but don't listen to them. Verse 2.
For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known.
That's why he gave the example of leaven. If you leaven hid it in the dough, and nobody will know, but within an hour or so, everybody will know this is a leaven dough. So he's saying there is nothing hidden, even though those people are teaching something and nobody knows, but it will come to the surface. Verse 3.
Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops.
If you speak somebody secretly in their ears, or maybe closet, or maybe a closed door, it will come to the light. That means some people wants to say something secret to somebody, say, this is secret, please don't tell anybody. But that's the secret will come out faster than anything else. Why? Because the other person keeps telling other person a secret is not secret anymore. So he says it will be proclaimed upon the housetop. Now somebody says, who goes to the housetop to proclaim? Those days they didn't have the loudspeaker. So if they want to announce something, they were actually going to the housetop, and the audience will be there, and they will be saying what's going to happen in the city or their country or whatever. They want to give announcement, they will go to the housetop and proclaim it. So he says, there is nothing secret. It will be proclaimed in the housetop, in today's language, in the loudspeaker, in the radio, television, YouTube, or anywhere in internet will be gone. There are so many things people do not want to know, and those things are coming in the internet. Verse 4.
And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him.
Disciples, he's saying, my friend. So when you say friend, you tell friends secret. Everything what you know. So he is telling his disciples at that particular time, friend. So many people get confused. They say, oh, Jesus Christ said his disciples friend. But see, he said his disciple friends. Afterwards, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be children of God. Amen. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be bride of Christ. So the same people, they change from the friend to the bride. But some people stayed at the bride. Those are the Old Testament people, just like John the Baptist. He says, I am just a friend. John the Baptist did not get a chance to be a bride, but we got a chance to be a bride. Why? Because the John the Baptist died before Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. So we are much more blessed than the friend. Friend can have some secret somebody can tell, but the wife or the bride, you can say more secret than you tell your friend, because the wife or your bride is one body. And so here he's calling them friend. He says, I'm going to tell you, my friend, when you telling the truth, people may not like it and they might try to kill you. But they only can kill your body. They have no power to kill your soul or spirit. So he's saying, let me tell you, there is someone has power to destroy your body, soul, and spirit in hell. Somebody who is your enemy, he can kill your body, but he has no power to put you in hell, or he has no power to destroy your soul. Only God does. Read the Matthew chapter 10, verse 28.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
God has the power to destroy body, soul in hell. So he says, you better be afraid of God, fear God, don't be afraid of people. People have no power to destroy you, but they can only destroy the body. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 5.
But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him.
There is one scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 120. Please read.
My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments.
See, Psalmist says, my flesh trembles. Do you know sometimes when you hear some bad news, all your flesh, your hair stands out? So he says, that's the kind of fear you should have for the Lord, that your whole flesh, whole body and soul should be tremble before God, because God is the judge and he has the power to send you to hell. Nobody else but God. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 12, verse 6.
Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God?
In those days, they were selling the sparrows, and in New King James, you will say, they were selling for 2 coins of copper. And that price was, that particular time, was like a 1 hour salary. Just a today's salary, if somebody's making $10 or $20 per hour, so that will be like a 5 sparrows value in those days. So I was thinking when I heard that and read that, how much God loves us that he says, even the sparrow falls from the tree to ground and dies, God notices. Somebody will say, God has no other things to do. He is watching sparrows. Yes, he does. Here we will be seeing he even watches your hair. Let's go read a little bit further. Verse 7.
But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You're of more value than many sparrows.
You can have any thick hair. And God knows. When you comb your hair and some hair fall, still God will know how many remaining. That means God is so wise. He has so much wisdom. Can you imagine one man's hair to count how much time it will take? And if there are billions of people and he knows everyone's hair and everyone's count, every time how many hairs fell and remaining how many the person has, So God is concerned each and every hair the man has. So he is saying, your life is worth more than many sparrows. He said, first of all, 5 sparrows are sold for 2 coins of copper. Now he says, your life is more than many sparrows. When you say many, how many? There is no number. It can be whole world sparrow, or whole world you keep in one side. Still, your life is much more worth than the whole world. That's what the word of God is saying. You can gain the whole world and lose your soul. What profit you have? Nothing. That's why the people are running after money. And they gain the money. The word of God says not only a little bit money, whole world's money you get. And if you lose your soul, what profit you have? That means God is trying to say money is not the answer. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 12, verse 8.
Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God.
Now somebody say, I don't know how to confess Jesus in front of men. Only time you will confess Jesus in front of men if you are born again. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Read 11 also.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
So that means how believing means receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not only confessing with your mouth, but putting in your heart. When somebody asks you, who are you? Just don't say, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal. They are not worried about what denomination you're coming from. I believe Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. That's what you have to say. If they tell you not to believe Jesus Christ, you said, even though you give me a punishment or death penalty or whatever it is, I'm not going to deny my Christ. Jesus Christ is my Lord and he is my Savior. He says, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before the angels of God. Peter is our example. He denied once, twice, 3 times, but when he received the Holy Spirit, he never denied Christ. He said to those people, you crucified my Lord. And he was not afraid of anyone. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 10.
And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven.
He's saying, if there is someone speaks against the Son of God or Son of Man, that means Jesus. If you say anything about Jesus, that person will not have that much punishment. But you speak against the Holy Spirit, you will have punishment. Not only that, you will not be forgiven. And many people might be thinking, is the Holy Spirit greater than Jesus? Why we have more punishment when we deny Holy Spirit, and why we have no punishment when we deny Christ? Because Jesus Christ came into this world, died for the mankind, and they persecute him. And Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them. That means he was saying, anything you will do to me, you will be forgiven. I am going to forgive you. But after that, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, they will not see it. Jesus Christ said, now they see me, so they try to kill me. I will send the Holy Spirit, and they will not see me, or they will not see even the Holy Spirit. So, why the punishment is given to the people who deny the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you what the Holy Spirit's job is. When Jesus Christ came, he came to introduce the Father. And he says, Father, send me. And I'm talking about Father. And then he introduced us, Holy Spirit. And he says, the Holy Spirit will come. Now, what the Holy Spirit's job is? Introduce Christ. So Holy Spirit introduced Christ to you. Christ introduced Father to you. And so he said, now, in the last days when Jesus Christ went, now the Holy Spirit is working on this earth. Now, the Holy Spirit's job is to tell you more about Christ, about your sin, about your sinful life. St. John chapter 16, and start reading from verse 8 to 11.
And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
When he's talking about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit will come, he will reprove the world of sin. That means he will convict the people about their sin. When some preacher comes and preaches the word and tells you, repent, you are a sinner, what happens? The Holy Spirit right there tells you to confess your sins. Receive Jesus Christ, even you are not born again. The Holy Spirit tells you to receive Jesus Christ. Ask forgiveness for your sins. Otherwise, if you reject Christ, reject the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit says, don't deny the Christ. Don't deny the blood of Jesus Christ. Receive him. Otherwise, you will have judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit will tell you and whisper to you. Amen. Read the verse 9.
Of sin, because they believe not on me.
He says, why sin? Because if you don't believe Jesus Christ, you will be having sin. The word of God says, in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now take it different way. If you don't believe, you will have punishment. If you believe, you have everlasting life. But if you don't believe, you will have punishment. So here is saying, the people who do not believe Jesus Christ, they will have punishment. Verse 10.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more.
And if somebody denies Jesus Christ, that means he denies the blood of Jesus Christ, then those people have more punishment. Verse 11.
Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged.
He said, judgment is coming. And he said, the prince of the world is already judged. Who is the prince of the world? Is the devil. The devil's head is crushed on the cross of Calvary. The devil is already defeated. So devil has no power. And so the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ already defeated the devil, and his judgment is coming. And the people who are believing in Satan, believing in his doctrine, believing in his teaching, and following the devil, and became the children of devil, according to St. John chapter 8, verse 44. He says, you are your father, which is devil. And so if the people are listening to the devil and doing every evil things, those people will be judged. And so who is telling this? The Holy Spirit is telling. So Jesus Christ saying, now he's lifted up. He's sitting in the heavenly place at the right hand of the Father. Now the Holy Spirit is doing the job. The Holy Spirit is saying, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't receive it, you will be judged. And that's why if somebody denies the teaching of the Holy Spirit, then what? Their punishment will be great, and they will not have any excuse, and their sins will not be forgiven. What does it mean? If somebody denies Jesus Christ, that sin will be never forgiven. All other sins can be forgiven, but denying Christ will not be forgiven. And so, denying Christ, somebody says, if somebody denies Christ like a Peter, does he have a chance to ask forgiveness? Yes. until he dies. Even the deathbed, some people say, they don't want to hear about Jesus. And those people will be never forgiven. So the Holy Spirit is the one trying to tell us about the God the Son, and we reject the teaching of the Holy Spirit, then there is no forgiveness. That's what Jesus Christ is telling. So it is very simple. You have to tell the people, they persecute Christ, they cannot persecute the Holy Spirit because they cannot see it. Only they can deny the Holy Spirit, not listening the doctrine what the Holy Spirit is giving. And so the Jesus Christ says, Holy Spirit will not say anything his own, but he will take it from me and tell you. So just like the message is coming from Christ, but the giving Holy Spirit. So if you deny the Holy Spirit teaching, you are lost. That's what he is trying to say. No forgiveness for those sin. Luke chapter 12, verse 11.
And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say.
See, again he says, when they take you, where they're going to take you, he said, they will take you to synagogue. Synagogue is place for worship in those days. But they made the synagogue like a court and a judgment. So they will take you to the synagogue, they will take you to the court, and they will try to punish you, they try to harass you. That time, don't be afraid. Don't say what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do. He said, the Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you. Go to the St. John again, chapter 16, verse 13.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
So he says, depend on the Holy Spirit. He will guide you. He will teach you. Whatever I taught you, it will bring it to your memory. And you will not have any problem. You reading the Bible from your childhood. And sometimes you said, oh, I cannot memorize the scripture. I am forgetful. But when the right time comes, those scripture will come to your memory without even thinking. And so the Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you in the right time. But keep on reading the Bible. Keep on studying the Word of God. Keep on close contact with Jesus Christ. Then you don't have to worry. Anytime any problem will come, God will give you grace and the Holy Spirit will protect you, guide you, and teach you all truth. Go back to the Luke chapter 12, verse 13.
And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me.
And one of the person from the crowd, he thought, I'll ask Jesus a question. And he said, Master, I have a problem. What is his problem? Maybe his father gave some money or inheritance to one of his brother, and maybe he is not satisfied with his. So he is saying, could you tell my brother, he got inheritance, so he did not give me enough money, so tell him to give me evenly or give me something. He thought, you know, Jesus Christ is very well known, and whatever he says, my brother will listen to him. Jesus Christ saying, following words, please read.
And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
Now he says, I'm not a judge. Your father did not give me the power of attorney so I can divide your money and give it to you. I have no authority. Somebody say, oh, see, Jesus says he is not a judge. Yes, he is a judge. He is coming as a judge. But here he says to this man, I have no authority to judge your brother and take his half of the property because I don't have a power of attorney. I cannot do this. But let me tell you what you're doing. You are jealous of your brother. Your brother has more and you have less. So you want to fight with your brother and get more from your brother. So let me tell you something. What you're doing, you are breaking the law of God. Go to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 17.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
Why are you so greedy that your eyes are looking at your brother's prosperity and you cannot stand and you say, give me half of yours, or tell Jesus to give me half of his? So he says, first of all, it's a commandment that you should not be coveting to your neighbors or anybody. Now, if somebody keeps this commandment, we will not have thieves and robbers. So he says, this is a commandment and you are breaking the commandments of God. And go to the 1 Timothy chapter 6 and start reading from verse 6.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
If you are a godly man, then you will be content in everything. The word of God says the godly man has a less amount of money. That money is more than a wicked person has. Why? Because you have blessing on that money. That money is God's money, blessed money, so you will not have any problems. But if you start comparing other people, he has more and I have less, you will have problem, because there are always people will have more than you. You cannot compete with other people how much they have. We did not bring anything when we came into this world. We cannot take anything. But how much people are worried about tomorrow? They want to gather as much as they can. One thing is sure, once we die, we cannot take anything with us. Okay, read a little bit further. Verse 8.
And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
See, the money is good, but the love of money is bad. If you have money, you can use it for the good cause. So he said, love of money is root of all evil, but if you go after money, you're going to have sorrow, you are going to have pain, you might kill yourself or you might kill somebody else. That's why Jesus Christ is talking to this man. He says, you know what? You have a bad heart. Your heart is after money. So don't go after money, don't go after your brother's money, because it will destroy you. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 16. Jesus Christ is giving an example about a rich man.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
There was a rich man. He's already rich. Got a lot of grain or whatever, the vegetable and fruits and everything. Now he's thinking, what I'm going to do? My barns are not big enough, so I'm going to break them and make a bigger one. And then I will store everything. He didn't do anything yet. He's just thinking what he's going to do. He's smart. He knows how to do everything. He said, I'll do that. And then I'll sit around and I'll say to my soul, now my soul, you have plenty of food. You have plenty of stuff for many, many years. And so that's what he was saying. And he says what? Eat, drink, and be merry. Be happy. Be joyful. So now he is so happy, he's just thinking. And that's what the people think today. They're saying, okay, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to make money. Then I'm going to be a millionaire when before I'm 30. and I will be rich, I will be doing business, I'll be doing this, all these things they think. But they don't know a life is very short. Sometimes they may not make it, sometimes they will have problem. There was a one man, and what he did, he borrowed money from somewhere, maybe $100, and he wanted to do some business. And he got the eggs for $100, and he was traveling, and he was in the top of the mountain, and he sat there and tired, and resting, and he started thinking, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell these eggs, and then I'll bring more eggs, and I'll sell those eggs, get a house, I'll get married, and my wife will be there, and if she says something, I will kick her like this. And he kicked the eggs, and eggs popped out, all the eggs, and completely finished. And then he started thinking, what I am thinking. So this is what the people are thinking. You don't have anything yet. You borrowed the money, and you are thinking about beating your wife one day for nothing. And so he lost everything. And so here this rich man sitting there, he has already everything. What he doesn't have children. He doesn't have wife. He doesn't have family. But he's rich. He might have brothers and sisters, but he's not sharing his wealth with anybody else. So he says, my soul, I am the one going to eat everything. I am going to make my barn bigger. And I am the one sitting, and I am going to live a long life. And so he's saying, now I can eat, drink, and be happy. And so this was his plan. Luke chapter 12, verse 20.
But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?
See, that means he didn't have anybody. If he would have had children, then his children will take care. Brother, sister, nobody. So he says, when you die tonight, what you will do with your property? So here the word of God is saying, our life is short. We don't know what's going to happen. This rich man is rich already. He never gave any penny to anybody. He never made anybody's life happy. And now he got more, so he said, I'm going to store it. He doesn't want to give it away. And so here he's saying, thou fool, if you die tonight, what are you going to do with your soul? Where are you going to go? You don't have anybody to share. So this person is a fool. And the word of God is saying, who is fool? If you read Psalm 14 verse 1 or Psalm 53 verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so the who is fool? The person who doesn't have God, that person is fool. And that person will do foolish things. Why? Because he doesn't have God. When we have God, our money is for God. Our money is for godly people. Our life is useful for somebody else. But if you don't have a God, then you are fool. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Verse 21.
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
Who is he? He said the person like that man, rich man, like a fool. If you treasure yourself in this world, you will be like that rich man. Verse 22.
And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?
Can you imagine? He gives the example of the raven, the bird, blackbird. We don't see in city too many, but if you're living in a farm or living in a village, you see those blackbirds, ravens. What they do? They steal your food. They don't have the storage. They just eat and that's it. And tomorrow they come and eat. But the Bible says God used the raven to feed the Elijah. The bird who is selfish, who doesn't have any storage, he just eats and that's it and steals the food from somebody. But God can use that raven to give the hamburger to Elijah. So he's trying to say, look how I take care of ravens. I can feed them. They can feed you or my servants. And why you worry about? He said, this raven doesn't have even a storehouse. And so he said, God feeds that raven every day. There is a saying, early bird finds the worm. And so every bird has the worms and worm has something to eat. And each animal's life depends on somebody else. And so God says he provides them. And so he says, don't you think you are better than all these birds? He gave the example before the sparrows. Sparrows are the smaller birds. So God is taking care of the little sparrows. He's taking care of the birds like a raven or any other birds. So he says, aren't you better than birds? So we have to think our life is much better than any animal. You can compare even the elephant. Or any animal, our value is more than that elephant or any bird or any other vicious animal. Why? Because we can train them. They can be our servants. But we are greater than any animal, any birds on this earth. Luke 12:25.
And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
The Solomon was the greatest king. He had a lot of money. He can buy all kinds of clothes, all kinds of colors, but he was not even wearing the beautiful clothes like a lilies and flowers in the field. So he's saying, you are worried about everything, but you have no power to make yourself a half a cubit or one cubit taller or shorter. So you cannot make your hair black or white. He said, yes, we can do it today. Yes, but you can do it today for a month or 2 weeks. After that, you have to color again and again. You cannot do permanently transform your color. The same way, now there is a medicine. You can give it to somebody and make them taller, but you cannot stretch somebody and make her taller right away. He said, this is easy. You can do it if you want to, but you are not able to do those things. So why you worry? Look at the flowers, beautiful flowers. Now, some people, you know, see the flowers in one area, but if you see the flowers of the whole world, you know, there is a flower show comes in Philadelphia sometimes. You go and there are some of the flowers you never saw. And those flowers are so beautiful. The God says, I put that color in those flowers. The Solomon was a great king, but he didn't have the beautiful clothes like those flowers. So what he's trying to say, these flowers are today here, tomorrow they vanish. The same thing grass. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 28.
If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?
Look at the beautiful grass. And the grass dries, and they put it in oven. Today we don't use that grass for cooking, but the poor people, they used to do that. How much more God will give you beautiful clothes or supply your needs? He says, O ye of little faith. Why are we suffering? Because we do not have faith in God. Right. Once we have faith in God, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you know how he supplies? He says he will supply all our needs according to his riches. Our God is rich. He owns the whole heaven and earth and all the silver and all the gold and everything is belong to God. If he is willing to give it to you, he will give according to his riches. He will supply all of your needs. There is no lacking. The word of God says our God is what? El Shaddai means all sufficient God. He says you have little faith. That's what your problem is. But if you have the faith in Christ, faith in God, we will not have any problem. All sickness, all disease, all finances, everything what you need a faith. If you have faith in God, you will have everything. Don't waver and everything will be all right. Verse 29, Luke 12, 29.
And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind.
Seek not what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear, and you will have what? Doubtful mind. He said, don't be doubter, be believer. Read verse 30.
For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
So what he's trying to say, who are looking for those things? The nations of the world. That means the heathen people who do not have faith in God. Worrying all about your future. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my house? What is going to happen to my property? He says, rather seek ye the kingdom of God. But the Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says a little bit better. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. What things? The heathens are seeking. The world is seeking. Those things, God says, I know you have need. I'll give it to you because you are seeking my kingdom, you are doing my works, you are loving me. I know what you need. I will supply your needs. And God's word is true. He supplies our needs. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Let's read 32.
Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Now he's saying, fear not, little flock. Who is talking to? He was talking to his disciples. You know what? It is Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why he's saying? Because they gave up their job and they followed Christ. He said, now you're following me. The kingdom of God is belong to you. Read verse 33.
Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Now here somebody says, the God is trying to tell us, sell everything what you have and give it to the people who do not have, and then you follow me, and then you keep your treasures in heaven, and everything you will have. Otherwise, what you're keeping in the bank, it'll be corrupted, but the heavenly banks, you will be safe. Everybody has to sell everything. No, he's talking to his disciples. Then the Peter starts saying, Lord, everything we sold and came after you, what are we going to get? He said, you're going to get 100-fold return on this earth and plus the eternal life in heaven. So whoever sells everything and follows Christ, God will supply our needs. He will give more than what you had. Okay, let's go. Verse 35.
Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning.
Israeli people, when they are leaving their town, Egypt, they were standing in attention, stick in their hand and eating the food like they are going on journey. The same way he says we should be always ready, clothed to wrap around so they can work hard. And so he says, and keep your light burning. If you go to the First Peter, he's telling what kind of loins you'll be girding. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Those people who have a belt on their vest, you cover your head, means keep your head pure. Don't allow the other thoughts to come and spoil your mind. Book of Romans chapter 12, he says, please read. Book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So here is saying renewing in your mind, and Peter says, gird your mind. That means your mind will be bombarded with a worldly thing. And the worldly thing will distract you from the doing the Lord's work. But once you give your life to God and say, Lord, why am I worrying for tomorrow? I'm going to just trust in you because you are coming soon. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. The signs of his coming is so close. We do not have time to play games. We should be very serious. If I ask you a question, in your lifetime, did you lead one man to Christ yet? What I'm trying to say, if you are born again child of God, your duty to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Because we want to see the world is dying, going to hell. It is our duty to bring them to Christ. Christ is the only one Savior, and there is none like Jesus. So each and every believer should be telling somebody about Jesus Christ. That is our job. Why we are in this world? We are here to get saved and save others. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Give us grace and courage to tell the whole world that Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the way to heaven, and there is none like Jesus. He can forgive your sins. He can give you everything what you need, healing for your body, and food for your soul and for your body. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to think about Christ. Our life is very short in this world. We want to live for you and for your glory. There are people dying without God and without Christ. We want to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But without your grace, we cannot do it. So give us grace, Lord Jesus, to not to go to hell, but go to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.